This episode of Shameless is brought to you by Frankie Four. Step beyond the ordinary with their Autumn-Winter 2024 collection.
Welcome to Shameless, the pop culture podcast for smart people who love dumb stuff. You're joined, as always, by Melbourne writers Michelle Andrews, that would be me, and Zara McDonald, that would be you.
Hello, and we of course have pop culture journalist Eilish Gilligan back in the seat for Annabelle Lee. Hello, Eilish.
Hi.
Hi, guys. Coming up on today's show, it's been another week of Princess Kate headlines. Apparently, she's at the farm shop. There is nothing to see here. Everyone carry on. Plus, Meghan Markle's curious timing for her new business launch. Olivia Munn reveals her cancer diagnosis. J-Lo's got a bit of a career headache on her hands. And Kylie Jenner is getting into the alcohol game. But first, Zara McDonald, how was your week?
I had a great week. Painful week to be off the show.
Oh, terrible.
Painful.
You texted me and you were like, of all the stories to miss, I'm missing the Kate Middleton Photoshop drama.
I was dying. So I was in Byron Bay with my partner last week and we had a great time. But it wasn't a conversation among equals. he was trying. He'd be like, so what do you think happened? And I would throw out all this stuff and it would be like, oh, yeah, wow. It wasn't like he was giving me anything back. So that was a struggle.
God bless you. You were like, what's everyone in the office saying?
Like, just get back and we'll talk about it. And talk about it, have we? We will get into that this week. I had a great week. I had a few celebrity spottings or sightings, if you guys are interested.
Absolutely. I know. Well, the first big one was you texted me. You said, I've just seen Fred again.
I did see Fred again. I was at like a little bar at a hotel and he was sitting at the table next to me and I was like, wow.
As far as like hot celebrity run-ins, like relevant celebrities, I think Fred again's up there.
I always think I'm chill around celebrities because I don't interrupt them and say hi, but I do just stare, which I think is they'd probably just prefer someone to come up and say hi. I have to say with Fred again, I actually have a very short are you in need of some intrigue?
Absolutely.
Because are you both in need of some intrigue?
Always.
You probably know this, Eilish, though, because you're a music head. But do you know what Fred Again's first ever number one song was?
Oh, no.
Nah.
It was...
It wasn't like a ballad or something.
He co-wrote Shotgun by George Ezra.
Did he?
Yeah.
A classic.
What a
that
song.
I'll be riding Shotgun. No, we don't sing on this song. That's a rule. But I'll be riding Shotgun.
That's it.
Underneath the something.
Yeah.
Sun, maybe?
That's it.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. So there's a little tidbit for you. So I saw Fred again. I, at the airport, also saw David Campbell from Nine Extra or Nine Today, and we had a chat.
You had a chat. Can you tell the listeners what you were eating when David Campbell bumped into you at the airport?
I think the context that is important here, it was a Sunday morning. I was at the airport. I had had a massive wedding the night before.
You were so wildly hungover.
I had just pulled myself out of bed and dragged myself to the airport. I'm pretty sure my hair was still wet from the shower. And the only thing that I could see on display that was I could stomach was a piece of toast and some butter, and then I just put bacon on top of it.
You were eating bacon and bread.
And David Campbell came up to me and he said, hi, like, you're from the podcast. And I said, hi, yes, I know who you are. And we had a chat and I was staring at my plate being like, this is so mortifying. Like, how do you tell him? I wanted to be like, I had a huge night last night.
I'm probably still drunk.
I'm gonna slump. Anyway, so that was delightful. What a guy. Love him.
I love David Campbell. I might be more excited about you running into David Campbell than I am Fred again.
Well, and I have one more.
Yes.
And that was Baz Luhrmann at the hotel.
This is the oddest trifecta of male celebrities. We've got David Campbell, Fred again, and Baz Luhrmann.
I was like, oh my God, it's Baz Luhrmann.
And what was the run in with him? Did you have a chat? Did he also say, from the podcast?
We were at a hotel and we were both at reception at the same time waiting for the people to come out at reception. And so he was sort of, you know, ringing the bell and knocking a few times, and we were just like waiting politely behind him, getting him to do the dirty work.
Well, when you're Baz Luhrmann, I think you can probably ding a bell a few times.
I agree. I have two recommendations for you. I read a bit last week while I was away. Two great books for our listeners that I think they'll love. The first is The Bee Sting by Paul Murray. I know it's everywhere at the moment.
It's a big one.
It's a big one. It's even bigger when a wave comes and sweeps all your shit away and the book floats. Which is one of the more humbling things that happens to adults.
It's like running after a table tennis ball, running after stuff that's being swept away in a wave feels deeply just inhumane to make someone.
It's not hot. So that is a really good book. I know it's big. It's about 650 pages. I will say, as I was reading the first sort of 350, 400, I thought the way I would recommend this book so far is that it's one of those big books that's recommended for all the prizes but feels like it's a bit more accessible. Like I get quite intimidated when I see prize-winning books. Mm-hmm. So I really loved it. The second one is not out yet. It's out in May. I had a pre-read copy, but I couldn't recommend it more. So pre-order it or wait for it to come out. It's Blue Sisters by Coco Mellors. Coco Mellors wrote
other books.
one of my favourites, Cleopatra and Frankenstein.
Yes.
So good. This book is about sisters. It's also got a big thread of addiction in there. It's deep without being dark. It's funny in parts, and it is just about the bond of sisters. It was incredible. It's going to be everywhere, and I want everyone to read it.
I'm going to do the cruel thing of making you pick one. I'm your friend. Which one am I picking up if I'm reading anything out of those two books?
Blue Sisters.
Okay. I'll take that on board. Thank you. Can I have your copy, please?
It's on Sahani's desk. Oh! she nabbed it first, baby.
I want the listeners to know I used to be Zara's person in the office that she would hand me her hand-me-down books when she particularly recommended something. And I've been bumped. For some reason, Sahani is now number two and I need to wait for Sahani to be done to get my hands on it.
Yeah, well, Sahani asks. You've got to get in first. How are you, birthday girl? How was your week?
I am great.
You're 30.
I'm 30. Speaking of bacon on bread, I did have a big weekend.
Yeah.
So I'm still here. I'm still going. I'm still standing strong. No, I had a great birthday. It was so much fun. I have two recommendations as well. One lowbrow, one highbrow. Where would we like to start, ladies?
I would like high.
And then we'll go low.
Yeah.
Which is what I specialize in.
We're cutting that now, are we? I didn't fix it fast enough.
The face you made when you couldn't get them.
I wanted to say finish me on the high, which was actually the low, as a joke, but none of it came out fast enough.
All right, we're starting high. The Highbrow Rec is a podcast episode of ABC's Conversations. The title is From Yale to Psychiatric Prison, The Undoing of a Brilliant Friend. I will say some ethical questions to be asked as you're listening to this episode. It is an interview with author Jonathan Rosen, who has written a book about his friend Michael Lauder. They went to school together. They were childhood best friends. Then they went to Yale together. Michael suffered with various psychiatric illnesses, and then his life took a pretty drastic turn. I'm not going to reveal what that is because I think it's kind of, you know, a huge part of the story that I want people to experience the same way I did. But I will let you know his psychiatric illness and the fact that he went to Yale Law School meant that the New York Times wrote profiles about him. He was kind of heralded as this creative genius, this complicated genius. He had a memoir and then a movie optioned by Hollywood for over $1 million. And then all of a sudden, as the title suggests, ended up in psychiatric prison for a pretty grisly reason. It's a really fascinating listen. I have questions in my head as to whether it's ethical for Jonathan Rosen to write a book about his friend and what happened in his friend's life and what his friend ended up doing to people. But I'll leave that with a question mark because I don't have the answers.
Fair. And you also can't spoil it for us as you don't want to.
No, I don't want to. What I will say is this is the kind of podcast episode that will then send you on a deep dive and you will end up in a rabbit hole like I did.
Oh, great.
Learning about Michael and what ended up happening to him.
I'm in the mood for a rabbit hole.
Yeah, well.
I need to get out of the Kate one. Someone pull me out of it.
Get me out. The lowbrow recommendation is a couple of weeks ago, I saw a TikTok hack that was about color analysis. Have you guys seen stuff about color, like color analysis on your feeds?
No.
Okay, so Eilish, this is the theory that your skin tone, hair color, and eye color are all complemented by a certain shade range of colors, right? That you essentially have a color wheel that will suit you the best and bring out your features the most. Make your skin glow, make your eyes pop, hair pop, whatever. Color analysis is something that people pay hundreds of dollars to go to experts for. My little sister Evelyn is one. Her birthday present last year was like a $300 trip to go get her color analysis done. But what the women in STEM on TikTok have figured out is that you can do it on AI, using AI for free. So I was like, I'm going to try and hack the system and get my color analysis done by ChatGPT. So what you can do is you take a selfie, you color drop onto your, like the middle of your forehead to get your skin tone shade. Like I'm talking, you know how you get numerical codes for colors? Get the shade color of the middle of your forehead, get the shade color that kind of represents your hair the best in your opinion, and then your eye color. Shoot it into ChatGPT, say, hello, ChatGPT. Here's my hair, eye, skin color. I want to know what colors suit me best. ChatGPT will shoot out the colors that are the most complementary for you, the literal color codes.
And what were yours?
Okay, well, mine, I was surprised. I did this 2 weeks ago. It came out with brown as one of my primary colors.
Which I can see that.
Love brown, so I was like not surprised by that. The shade of green it popped out, I was surprised by. It was like this apple green. So I was like, that's interesting. And then I also asked for lipstick colors and metals. And it said I'm suited to gold and lipstick. I should lean into terracotta. To bring this full circle, 3 weeks ago on the podcast, I recommended the Pout Pop Mean Girl Shade Lipstick. And you and I are terrible with colors, Zara. And we were like, it's like coral.
I said it was orange.
It's terracotta. Which explains why I love that shade
and
so much.
And you wore a hot green dress on the weekend?
Exactly. Yeah. The dress I wore to the wedding on the weekend was apple green. I only bought it because ChatGPT told me it would
love
be flattering.
It.
I put the dress on, took a photo in it, put it up on my Instagram, and everyone in my comments was saying, that's your color.
How good.
So I just want to share this. It's a free hack. Save yourself $300. Get ChatGPT to tell you what your colors are. And then you're going to just game life.
I know, but then I don't want them to tell me that a colour I might like may not be my primary colour.
I did ask for my worst colours and I did decide to just ignore one
of
them.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
It told me pale blue isn't for me and I said, you know what, you're wrong in this instance.
We have said I need to quickly get this done before we jump into the quick and dirty that it was your birthday on the weekend.
Yes.
And, you know, tried and true listeners of the show will know there's one thing we do for birthdays.
We have a tradition.
What's the tradition?
We bring each other, the other, whoever's birthday it is, we bring them a celebrity
birthday
message.
I have a birthday message for you.
Is it from a celebrity?
I would say it's from a celebrity.
Okay. You've tinkered with the idea of just getting my mum to do it before.
I have because in past years we've struggled.
Oh, you had Lisa Vanderpump last year.
I know,
year.
That's true, but I had to pay for it. I didn't pay for any this year. Now, I have one for you.
Okay.
And I can't remember. This, you will love this message. I'm trying to work out if you've ever mentioned your intense love of this human on the show.
Okay.
But you will not be shocked.
Shall I have a guess?
Well, there is one person in the sporting world, more than anyone else, a male who may not play, that you love.
I don't want to get it wrong.
That's all right.
I do love Jack Riewoldt.
No, they don't play.
He doesn't play anymore.
He's in the sporting world, has never played, but you love him more than anyone else in this footy
code. Oh my God. No. No. Is my mum going to hear this and die as well? Play it.
Michelle, Gillon McLaughlin speaking. Happy birthday. I know you're a massive AFL fan and you're turning 18 or 20 or whatever it is. Right on the podcast, I know it's reaching spectacular amount of people. Happy birthday. Hope you're going well and we'll run into each other. Take care.
Gillon McLaughlin.
Gillon. He's my, I've said on a TikTok before, he's my crush.
I know.
He's my celebrity hall pass.
I know. Well, I wasn't going to say that. I was trying to keep it wholesome.
He said, let's keep in touch.
Keep in touch. He said, we'll bump into each other, he said.
For the sake of my marriage, sorry, I'm fanning myself. I'm like blushing.
You actually, your
so
hands are like shaking.
For the sake of my marriage, Gillon, I reject that. I don't think that's safe for me. That is insane.
So I have to say, Dill Buckley, friend of the show, he runs Producey and Clubby Sports and hosts Dill and Friends, really went out on a fucking limb for me in the last few weeks. We have used up all our Dill tokens for the next 2 years. He's a good friend. He hounded poor Gil's EA for weeks to get this for us.
Shut up.
So if you need another podcast to listen to, go to any of Producers or Clubby Sports. I'm going to plug them because they, and I'm so sorry, we can't ask Dill for another favour for years.
Oh, That is the best. That's better than Lisa Vanderpump.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, I think it's better than Lisa. I will say, if you're listening to this internationally, Gillian McLachlan was like the big dog of the AFL for how long?
Oh,
like over a decade.
Yeah.
He was the top boss. He is to AFL what Toto Wolff is to F1.
That's exactly right. He's amazing. I know we're at 15 minutes, but I do have something else for you.
You don't have another one.
I do.
You don't have another
I'm
one.
I'm sorry. I've really pulled through because I thought, you know what?
What the fuck?
Michelle's 30. I need a man for every decade.
Oh, you're giving... what? We have three?
Well, I have two men here.
Oh my God, it's not Hamish and Andy.
This one's going to be a long one.
Ahoy to Ham, who sits on my right. Ahoy to you, Jacko.
Ahoy.
And ahoy to Michelle.
Michelle. We don't normally do birthday shout-outs, but here we are pre-recording the top of Ep 701. So a couple of years away, but yes. But sneaking in this happy birthday from the past, Michelle. The deepest happy birthday gusto to you
and
from the Hamish and Andy show.
Yeah, so I actually don't celebrate birthdays, so
that's true.
Yeah, I mean it's a small.
Happy I mean, you guys don't need that much gusto. Your podcast is going really well. Probably a bit less gusto, to be honest, just to stop the old breathing down the neck. But no, happy birthday to you. We love you guys. And specifically you, Michelle, because it's your birthday.
Appreciate you, Michelle. Hip hip,
hooray!
Great power move.
I thought the power move came on the third hip hip.
Nah. Nah, first. You just do one hip hip, then you vanish. Why? How is it the third?
I thought you're you done. Went hip hip, hip hip, and then you didn't give a third.
No.
Check the archives.
Oh, my God. Oh, okay. So I just want to take everyone on the emotional journey I just went on. First half of that recording, elated. Second half, fucking terrified as to what I do for your birthday, because no one has ever smashed birthday messages out of the park quite like you just have.
I know. A big thank you to Hamish and Andy. Big thank you to producer Carly for helping us out with that one.
Oh,
that is the longest
up.
Birthday message we've ever got as well. And I thought, it's Hamish and Andy. I'm playing the whole audio.
I've listened to every episode they've ever done.
I know.
It's my favourite podcast.
They said they don't do birthday shout outs, but they did it for you.
Oh.
So happy birthday!
Me and all the men!
Yeah, I said a man for every decade. We have to get into this quick and dirty, but it's been so worth the delay. Shall we get into it? Quick and dirty, I'm just going to read it out. It's the top five stories from the rough and tumble of the celebrity and pop culture news cycle. Michelle, birthday Andrews, what have you got for me?
Our first story. Will the Princess Kate video put an end to royal communications mess? That is from the Washington Post. It's your time, girlfriend.
It's
what
my
are we going to do?
I'm here. Look, I'm going to say it was a bit dangerous having me prep notes for this kind of story because I would spend no time writing notes and just keep going deeper and deeper into my rabbit holes. But I wanted to quickly talk about where the girls left off last week. After the team recorded, we did start to have some curious articles pop up, Mish, about one Rose Hanbury.
For the uninitiated, Rose Hanbury is the woman who was rumoured a few years ago, like 5 years ago now, to have had an affair with Prince William. Again, it was a rumour. There was no concrete evidence, but it has been a trending topic for a very, very long time now. We've even spoken about it multiple times on the show before.
Yeah, if you need a quick recap, this all started in about March 2019 when The Sun reported that Kate Middleton had fallen out with a long-term friend called Rose Hanbury. That article was later taken down. A few months later, it was speculated sort of on the interwebs that they fell out because of an affair between Rose and Prince William, and that all happened when Kate was pregnant with Louis. Again, rumour, rumour, rumour. Around this time, The Sun wrote another article about how Rose had been struggling after the friendship breakup and mentioned that some private meetings between Will and Rose were the catalyst for the breakdown.
Meetings,
again,
yeah.
That article was taken down as well. No British tabloid touched this story at the time. And if they did, it very much looked like with The Sun, they were threatened with legal action. It trended on social for a while, then it died down.
Yes. Then at the end of 2021, it popped up again. The journalist Alex Tiffin resurfaced the issue on Twitter. It was December 28. And Alex alleged that not only was William the Royal who had made racist comments about the then unborn Prince Archie, Meghan and Harry's son, but also wrote this: injunctions from the High Court in London are worthless in Scotland. My residence and no amount of legal pressure is going to erase the fact Prince William had an affair with Rose Hanbury. Enjoy your evening. He went on, Multiple UK news outlets have had evidence of the affair and his comments. Some even spoke of them on this site before legal threats saw them delete. A royal shouldn't be afforded extra protection from scrutiny than any other public figure. Journalists report, not handle.
So you can imagine now, with all this speculation about where the hell Kate is, rumours about Rose resurface. Now, it started with The Independent actually writing like this SEO-driven article, like, who is Rose Hanbury? Knowing that people are going to Google that, their article will come first. Mm-hmm. Some on Twitter and TikTok argued that this could be considered a little bit of a threat from The Independent, like an early strike to the palace to say, if you're going to keep this shit from us or play us with Photoshopped photos, we will run stuff that you may not want.
Well, some even went beyond that and said it's not a threat. This is the palace planting stories about Rose because she's the next queen.
Yeah,
and they're starting a PR campaign to get Rose out there and get some positive press, which to those people, no, that's just not, happening. That's not the case.
It's a preemptive strike. And then after that, we actually had Stephen Colbert enter the chat. Now, this was really interesting. Did you see this?
I did.
Okay, so the story's a bit funny. I would play you a snippet of what he said on his show, but the snippets online have now been edited and changed. According to reports, he referenced allegations that Will and Rose had an affair in the skit, but didn't kind of call them allegations. Outlets like The Guardian reported on that. Days later, the skit had been edited and so too had the reports.
It's giving Alicia Keys post-Super Bowl.
Yes. I mean, and that's the thing. Like, there is nothing at all in the world to prove that these two had an affair. And sometimes people can talk about it, you know, dare I say, a bit willy-nilly.
A little flippantly.
Yeah. So there was that. And then after all the Rose stuff, Mish, we had that. So I don't know if you guys were on that side of Twitter, the BBC announcement side of Twitter. I wish I know you were there. It was a side of Twitter that was convinced that the BBC was put on standby by the royal family for an announcement. Look, with hindsight, it was a bit silly. Between Monday and Wednesday, Forbes were asking the BBC, is this true? Are you on standby for an announcement? They didn't respond for comment. I think it was probably fair to assume that if there was to be an announcement of any kind, you're not putting the BBC on standby for an announcement. You're just announcing it to them.
Yeah.
Didn't help me hoping, though.
No, you walked into the office. You're like, so what do you think the royal family are announcing? And I was like, what are you reading?
Yeah, I know.
But like all theories with this, it took me about 5 minutes after you said it to be so deep into that and be a true believer as well. While we're talking about theories, I know we have another development to cover in a little bit, but while we're on the topic of Kate Middleton theories, get yours last week, and I think the listeners deserve to know. What's your theory?
Well, I hope she's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course. What I would love, my ultimate utopia here, is Kate is in protest.
Yeah.
She, that's my...
Girl boss Kate Middleton.
Oh, yeah. She's like, I have been holding this family together. Will's been playing up. None of you have been appreciating me. And I am in protest right now. And either you treat me how I deserve to be treated and you really value me or I'm out. And this is what happens when I don't speak to the press or to the people.
I don't play the game. That's what happens when I sit out.
I don't think that's true, but I want it to be true.
Okay.
I do think she's had abdominal surgery.
Okay. I think she's had,
to be honest.
Now that we've had another week to sit with it, I think there are probably two things running alongside each other in tandem. I don't think all of this can be explained by just one neat theory
anymore.
I agree. I think there is a health concern going on, whether that's abdominal surgery, whatever. There is something to do with Kate's health. I think there's probably something to do with the marriage running alongside that in tandem. And I agree with you. My feminist utopia is that Kate stands up for herself and has her own back in whatever way that looks like. My gossip-loving heart would love for it to be whatever's best for Kate, in whatever way that looks.
Yeah, the only hole to that theory. I mean, the thing that we went back and forth in the other day is like the fact that the statement from the palace after the first Photoshop image was coming from her saying, sorry, I play around on Adobe from time to time. See, I was like, she had to have agreed to be the fallback guy. Or they're sticking it to her, being like, if you're not going to play ball, we're not playing ball with you. And I don't know. I was like, would it be that toxic of a place? I mean,
yeah.
It's so funny. No matter how much over history we read about the royal family and how toxic people find it, from Diana to Meghan and Harry, I still struggle to believe that anything could be that toxic.
Mm. Yeah, you're so right. It's like history repeats itself, and every time we're like, they can't be that bad. It couldn't possibly,
but then it's like, maybe it could. Maybe it could. So I don't know. I worry that we're never going to find out. That's all. Yeah. I worry that if it is her sticking it, we'll never know.
Yeah, well, of course, that wasn't it for the week, because we did then get the brand new photo. And it wasn't just a photo this time, it was a video. Kate was reportedly seen, apparently seen, in a new video.
Oh, there she goes. She's planting her seeds already.
With Prince William, as they visited a quaint local farm shop in Windsor at the weekend. Now, this video was obtained and published by the likes of TMZ. They shared it on Monday. And apparently, this is the first video footage we have seen of Kate since she left the public eye in December. But of course, people are now asking, is it actually her? What do we think?
What do you think?
I don't think it's her.
Eilish?
I don't know. I saw it at first and I was like, oh, that's her. Whatever. The game's over.
Jigs up.
But then I saw everybody speculating. I saw that AI recreation or like enhancement of the video, which I was a little bit skeptical of. But it still doesn't answer the question of why they just can't post a photo of her.
I agree. Mm. Or a video of her talking to camera.
Yeah. Sarah, it's what do you think?
I do think it was them. I do. I think I've spent a good deal of time studying this.
If only the listeners were welcomed into the shameless office for 24 hours because the sheer number of conversations.
Well, it's like we'll all get back to work and then someone will just say something out of nowhere and everyone will know what we're talking about.
There is no work getting done this week.
None at all. I studied it quite a lot and I have decided that I think it's her walk. I think it's hers. So
her gait matches, you think.
So I do. And the height difference between them, I know there's been some conjecture about that. I do think it's them. She does look different. I think that's fair to say. Mm-hmm. The only thing I think I can say for sure is that between the pap photo of her in the car with her mother, the Photoshop photo of her with her children, and this video, at least two of them aren't real. She looks far too different in all three of these. Only one of them can be real. Only one of them can win. And I do think it's the video. I do still think something is up, and I do still think it's a huge red flag that she can't just say, hi, everyone, happy Wednesday.
Here's today's newspaper.
Yeah. Thank you for your concern. I'm doing really well. Can't wait to be back out there. Like, it is, it's pretty concerning to me.
The reason I don't believe it, the reason I think it's fake, is because I don't understand how in 2024, the world's most wanted woman can be out in public, walking the street, and no one has a clear shot of
it's
her.
It's Windsor. Yeah.
I don't care the amount of speculation that's around about her. The way this story, this is one of the biggest stories, definitely. This is the biggest story in pop culture right now. How has no one, I don't care what age you are, my nan is so invested in this. My nanny, if she saw Kate Middleton, would pull her phone out and get a higher res
That's
video.
That's because she's a tech nanny. She replies to all my Instagram stories.
Shout out to Christine if you're listening, which I know you will be. You are very tech
she's
savvy.
She's tech savvy. The thing is, there's a huge chance here that they weren't actually shopping, that they got out of the car, walked 100 metres with their bags and walked back into the car, and that the only person that got them was the one that had been set up to get them. Mm. I don't know. Like, I don't actually think they went shopping together. There's no way. Mm. I'm just a bit flabbergasted by this. I mean, I do need to shout out the Daily Mail for their headline around this, which says, Kate Middleton breaks cover, smiling Princess of Wales is pictured with Prince William during visit to farm shop in image that will silence the conspiracy theorist.
I'm louder than ever.
I just messaged you and said, I am not silent. There was a moment that you thought this was real though.
I had a shaky moment.
Because all I heard from you was, I sent you the video and I said, just look at it and look at it just carefully, and all I heard from you in the corner was, ah, fuck.
But I'm back on board, baby. I'm a conspiracy theorist again. I will not be silenced like you, Zara McDonald, and we live another week.
We go again. We'll be back next week. But first, before we get to more royal news, we need to hear a word from today's sponsor.
Good
guys. Our friends at Frankie Four love taking a step beyond the ordinary, and they've done exactly that with their brand new autumn winter collection for 2024. It's footwear that combines science with style to give us warmth and functionality, all while staying in line with the latest trends.
Looking at the collection, Mish, there are plenty of bold and timeless flats, sneakers and boots available. Boasting over 100,000 five-star reviews, it is no surprise that thousands of women worldwide turn to Frankie Four for quality and comfort in their everyday and special occasion shoes.
Frankie Four is all about breaking down the norm that style has to mean sacrificing comfort. The support in their footwear has been designed by podiatrists to create fashion-forward functionality that invites women everywhere to make the most of every day.
I've actually been looking, Mish, for a pair of boots that I can wear comfortably and style easily with the pieces in my wardrobe, so it feels like this collection has come at the perfect time.
Absolutely. If you guys are like us and are ready to stride with confidence into the cooler months, Frankie Four is kindly giving Shameless listeners 20% off site-wide starting today. You just need to use our code SHAMELESS20, that's SHAMELESS20.
Yeah, that is the code SHAMELESS20, SHAMELESS20 for 20% off site-wide. Site-wide until the 16th of May. Get shopping today.
Thank you so much to Frankie Four for that generous discount code, and thank you for making this episode of Shameless possible. Our second story, how Meghan and Harry counter-programmed a week of palace PR bedlam. That is from Vanity Fair.
For joy.
We just covered Kate and Will. An 11-hour flight away. Meghan and Harry.
If I have to live in fish, we have to live in Meghan.
Meghan and Harry in Montecito have also had a curious week.
Yeah, look, there's a lot going on here. There's not just one story. The first kind of Meghan and Harry headline happened early last week in the midst of the photoshopping debacle. Which one? sources close to Harry and Meghan. Sorry. It's just such a classic roast. Just never gets old. Told Page Six, this isn't a mistake Meghan would ever make. She has a keen eye and freakish attention to detail. So it felt like people were like, oh, is someone close to Harry and Meghan, you know, somehow saying that Meghan just wouldn't make this mistake?
Naturally, who knows who these close sources are, right? Like, they could be anyone. We don't know if those quotes are legitimate or from their team. But some pretty reputable people in the media seem to believe that the quotes are as legit as they come. For instance, Vanity Fair writer Erin Vanderhoof accused Harry and Meghan of twisting the knife in. 2 days after the original Page Six report, Harry and Meghan's spokesperson came out and said, with respect to Page Six, that did not come from us.
Yeah, 2 days after that, Meghan announced the impending launch of her new lifestyle brand. It's called American Riviera Orchard, of course. It's the most Meghan Markle name ever. And according to legal documents, it will be an online retail store selling tableware, cutlery, cookbooks, servingware, coffee and tea, kitchen textiles, jams and jellies, oils and other foods. A second filing apparently covers things like yoga gear and pet-related items. It does sound quite similar to the Tig, the brand she used to launch. So very in line with what she is known for.
Well, she did have that blog for a very long time. The tagline of the Tig was a hub for the discerning palate. Yeah. Those with a hunger for food, travel, fashion, and beauty. The difference was that lifestyle blog didn't sell product. Totally. Whereas I think the next iteration of American Riviera Orchard probably will. The brand was launched with an old school like tile of 9 posts, each tile built together to say American Riviera Orchard, except it also had underneath it Montecito. Yeah. So quite a lot of words in the title. It's all very royal and old money looking. It's what I imagine you'd get if Goop and Town and Country magazine had a baby. There was also a video that was posted at the same time of launch, and that was very much like old money, beautiful home, baking a cake, tradwife energy.
Yeah,
a la Nara
fair.
Smith.
How interesting. I mean, obviously the conversation on the back of her announcing this is about the timing. Obviously, we're in the midst of missing Kate. And then Meghan comes out with this. You and I had an interesting conversation on a walk to lunch the other day. And I was like, I do feel like there was never going to be a good time for her to launch this with what's going on in the royal family at the moment. Like, what's to say she hasn't been trying to launch this for quite a few months, but Charles got sick, then Meghan was off. maybe she knows that a story like the one going on with the royal family right now is not going to die. It may even get more extreme. Mm-hmm. I do think it's kind of unfair for people to come for her and say, what about the timing? Yeah. She's got to launch it at some point.
Yeah, she does. I wonder if, to your point, she knows this won't stop anytime soon, yeah. the headlines out of the royal family. And if anything, now might be the most quiet time to announce it if yeah. things are about to explode, which we don't know.
Yeah, especially with King Charles's health. Like, I don't think we actually haven't been talking about the health of King Charles in all of this conversation. And I think that's the thing that people would come for the most. If we knew potentially how unwell he might be and she launched something like this, that's when people would come for her the most.
One interesting part of the what do we think of the timing chat is that the company was only registered a month or two ago. And apparently they are months away from having anything to actually launch or sell. So yeah. I do find that part of the conversation interesting, where it's like, well, you only really have a name, a logo, and an Instagram page to launch. Could you have just held off when you actually have something to show us and the thing is actually in the world? But yeah. I don't know. I don't think it's necessarily evil, and I think some of the tone on social media is particularly snarky. I do find it slightly weird. She still really pushes this Duchess of Sussex thing when she has left the family. She was only in the family for a couple of years to begin with. I find it strange that she's now trying to...
Would you prefer it to be by Meghan Markle?
Yeah, I just find it a little contradictory that you leave the palace. It is this toxic place that you've wanted to tell us about, which I believe. I don't think the palace is a great place by any stretch. But if everything you've said is how you feel, why do you want to employ that tagline of by Meghan, the Duchess of Sussex, to make money?
Well, I think it's technically her last name now that she's married in. Like, I think it's still, they haven't given up those titles. So those titles are still theirs.
But I think they should give them up.
I know. Well, yeah, that's, yeah. I guess that's the conversation. But she might argue, well, I married him and this is essentially who I am. It's like, if you changed your name to Reese, you know, you didn't. But if you did, it would be like by Michelle Reese. That's probably her argument. Whether or not you think it's the same is a different conversation.
I think it's slightly different, but it's an interesting one. And again, even with all of that in mind, I don't think the snarkiness is necessary online.
Fair enough. Our third story, Olivia Munn reveals she had a double mastectomy after cancer diagnosis. That is from The Guardian.
Yeah, actress Olivia Munn has had a really intense week in the headlines, primarily because, as you just said, Zara, in the headlines, she told the world of her cancer diagnosis. Mm. Olivia wrote on Instagram to her 3 million followers, "I'm lucky. We caught it with enough time that I had options. I want the same for every woman who might have to face this one day."
That's a huge thing to go through.
Oh.
She said she was trying to, I guess, take control of her health by getting some testing done. She actually tested negative for the BRCA gene, but given her family history of cancer, her doctor actually did more tests and it turned out she had this thing called luminal B cancer in both breasts. She got the double mastectomy 30 days later. So it's not a lot of time to get your head around it. No. I think any woman who's gone through that would understand how huge of a thing it is for her. And I guess when Olivia came out on Instagram and spoke about it, she was urging any other woman to look into their breast cancer risk assessment score.
Yeah, we did some digging on this. I know people listen to Shameless from all different corners of the world. We will give Australian listeners some directions on what they can do when it comes to breast cancer risk assessment score. But please Google it for your own country because everyone's different. In Australia, the Cancer Council recommends a program called iPrevent. It's an online risk assessment tool that you can do. I did it yesterday. It took me about 5 minutes. It's that classic annoying thing where the online tool says, this will take you half an hour.
Yeah.
It took me so much. It didn't take me anything close to half an hour. So don't let that put you off. We're going to link it in the show notes. But if you Google petermack.org/iPrevent, you can do this yourself and get your percentage chance of getting breast cancer at your current age with your family history. Mine was very, very low, which is great, but it will give you steps. Depending on what your number is, it'll tell you what you should be doing and you can take this, print it out and take it to your GP.
God, things are clever now. It's tech amazing. And science. People in STEM. Now, back to Olivia Munn for a second. Part of her post, of course, mentioned her partner, the comedian John Mulaney, who we've discussed a lot over the years on this show. She said, "I am so thankful to John for the nights he spent researching what every operation and medication meant and what side effects and recovery I could expect. From being there before I went into each surgery and being there when I woke up, always placing frames framed photos of our little boy Malcolm, so it would be the first thing I saw when I opened my eyes.
It's been a very big week for Olivia and John, as we set up the top, because just a couple of days before she announced her cancer diagnosis, John Mulaney's ex-wife, Anna Marie Tendler, actually announced she's releasing a memoir. Eilish, have you seen this?
I have seen this.
Yeah, the memoir is called Men Have Called Her Crazy. It's coming out in August, Sarah.
Yeah, in Anna's Instagram post, she wrote that she'd been writing the book for 2 years. She split from John in 2021. She said the book is about mental health, being a woman, family, and finally about the endless source of my heartbreak and rage, men. So, I mean, given the timeline of John leaving Anna and falling pregnant with Olivia has always been the source of commentary and controversy, there will be a lot of eyes on this release. Early reports suggest he isn't mentioned directly. I don't think he will be. But I think it's, yeah, it'll be an interesting book to read. And then on the Olivia stuff separately to that, I think what a mammoth thing for her to go through and mammoth to announce it to the world and sort of make your story public in the hope that it helps somebody else.
100%. Our fourth story, Jennifer Lopez cancels 7 tour dates without explanation after new album This Is Me Now flops. That is from Page Six.
My heart hurts. I didn't realize that Jennifer, I would die on the hill of defending Jennifer Lopez, but here we are. Jennifer Lopez cancelled the final 7 dates of her upcoming tour, ostensibly without explanation. This is according to Page Six. Now, Page Six reported that Ticketmaster quietly added cancellation notices to 7 American shows, while 2 other previously announced shows were just wiped from the company's website entirely. The tour is now set to end in New York in August. Page Six reached out to her team. They said it was logistical issues. Other people are saying it's likely because not enough tickets sold.
Yeah. Now, this album was her first in a decade, and it did flop on the Billboard 200 chart. It debuted at number 38
last
month. Not great. Not great as far as J-Lo musical pursuits is concerned.
First in a decade as well. It also wasn't reviewed particularly well. There was this really interesting review in Pitchfork, and I really liked this line that kind of hypothesized perhaps why, you know, people didn't vibe with the album beyond it not being as boppy as I'd want it to be. Eilish, what do you think? You're the expert.
I actually haven't even listened to it.
Oh, gosh.
I feel like I completely missed this album release because it was overshadowed by this documentary slash movie.
Yeah. I think that kind of plays into this line that I want to read, which is from Pitchfork, which is, "This Is Me Now's biggest issue is that the narrative threatens to and does overtake the music. While the songs might be fun and even better with choreography, the Disney princess angle becomes tiresome and then cloying, especially from a woman who has notoriously worked her ass off to achieve her level of renown." I was like, it's that. It's like, I can understand why she wanted to do a documentary and a movie and make this like a 3-part thing. But at the end of the day, I think people love J-Lo because she's like this fucking powerhouse.
Yeah.
And I think her putting all her love pursuits at the center, not that there's anything wrong with that. People are like, it's not why we love you.
I think as well, I think we made that comment when we spoke about the movie a few weeks ago on the show. We said we didn't even realize there was an album. That the movie was to promote the album, but the movie and the PR around the movie even detracted from the album. Like, the music in the movie is also, like, it doesn't really take center stage.
No.
J-Lo takes center stage and everything else kind of washes into the background.
Because, like, when I think of J-Lo, I think of that, like, iconic performance with Shakira at the halftime show and where she is just, like, a powerhouse on stage, and I think that's what people want from her. If she had produced this movie with, like, a killer film clip or two that was just, like, her going bananas, I honestly think it could have been better.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know anything about this. I can't pretend that I do.
I'm just a girl with a microphone.
That no one ever should have given. Our fifth story. Renee Rapp calls for immediate Gaza ceasefire at the GLAAD Media Awards. That is from Rolling Stone.
Mean Girls star Renee Rapp has become one of the first prominent celebrities to use the awards season, which is almost at its end, as an opportunity to demand an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. While on stage at the GLAAD Media Awards, she said this.
Very influential people and very privileged people, which is exciting and also is a huge privilege to be a part of that. Having said that, I'd like to take the opportunity to show support and call for an immediate ceasefire and permanent ceasefire in Gaza. Please continue to advocate for yourselves, continue to advocate for your friends. for your queer friends and for those who can't advocate for themselves. Thanks.
Really interesting.
Yeah, well, I think for me it's definitely one of the more high profile moments where a celebrity has called for a ceasefire so far. Mm. I mean, we've also had the likes of Billie Eilish and Phineas wearing pins to support a ceasefire at the Oscars last week. There was a clip of Mark Ruffalo that also went pretty viral, Mish.
Yeah, he was also wearing that Artists for Ceasefire pin on the red carpet, and he told a reporter, "We have to come to peace. We need peace. We need a ceasefire." Back to Renee, though, when Pop Bass shared the video of her demanding a ceasefire, more than 250,000 people liked it. The top comment, I think, says a lot about the sentiment and the mood of the room. The top comment read, "She has more balls than the majority of Hollywood and her career is just now starting to take off."
Yeah, our sixth story. Kylie Jenner has a booze brand now. That is from The Cut.
Mm.
Kylie Jenner's announced another business.
She doesn't need another business.
She doesn't.
She's got so... What happened to Kylie Baby? Kylie Skin?
Kylie Swim?
Kylie Swim? Oh. Kylie Cosmetics? Kai, the clothing brand. I spend too much time thinking about Kylie Jenner's businesses. I can't bring another one in. And this one's name doesn't even fit into the remit of the other businesses.
This is Sprinter.
It doesn't. Why?
So Sprinter is the business in question. She's gone into the canned vodka soda market. Now, later this month, Sprinter will hit shelves in a 4-flavour variety pack. You've got... It's not much this story, so...
pat it out, baby.
I'm patting as much as I can. You got the flavours lime, grapefruit, peach and black cherry. I got to say... We could have gone stronger.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan. I don't know what it is about every alcohol brand going for the flavor of grapefruit. I don't know if it's super cheap or easy to make.
I don't like it. No, I love lime.
That.
I would pick lime out of those or black cherry.
What about watermelon? What about raspberry?
Yeah, about raspberry. That? Who's ever been upset with a raspberry
Thank
vodka
soda?
Thank
you so much.
How's our padding going?
I've actually got her statement here. Sprinter, she said, is my answer to the growing consumer demand for quality canned cocktails. We're adding to a market dominated only by a few players with an incredibly delicious vodka soda in a can. I do wonder with this, like, why so many businesses? The only thing I can think of is if this is a different kind of business for her, where this is actually a kind of business she doesn't have a whole heap to do with. She's probably just put her name to something. Like, they've probably done a whole lot of market research, found out where the hole is in the market, found someone already building this, slapped her name on it.
Yep.
This will be ticking in the background. People will drink it. But it's not going to have the same level of cohesion that Kendall and 818 have.
No, I think what really confuses me about this as well is if people, as they're listening to this, get up a photo of the Sprinter cans, it almost looks like one of the drinks you might buy from, like, it reminds me of like 7-Eleven Slurpee branding, which, don't get me wrong, love myself a 7-Eleven Slurpee, but it doesn't fit in at all with Kylie Jenner's brand. She's going to this like Sophia Richie Grange, Parisian, chic, minimalistic vibe. And then she comes out with something that looks like, I know it's alcohol, but it looks like it's almost teenager-esque.
But that's why I wouldn't be surprised if this was in production for a long time before she was approached.
It's just so silly.
About it. Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I actually think this will probably work for her. It'll be a nice sort of thing ticking in the background that will sell, regardless of her being attached to it. I think this will just give it a slight, a higher profile edge, but I don't think people are buying it in the same way people are buying 818 as like a personal branding piece. They're just like, oh, yeah, I've seen that brand around. I'll buy it.
Yeah.
That is all we've got time for, though.
Thank you so much. Thank you for my birthday messages.
You're welcome. Happy birthday.
I'm going to go listen to them again after we finish recording.
I'll send you some of them. I'll send you the audio. One of them has a video. It's all good. We can post one of them to social.
Oh, I can't wait. Zara McDonald. Where can people find us if they want to find us on socials?
They can find us on Instagram at Shameless Podcast, on TikTok, Shameless_podcast. Eilish Gilligan, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Can't wait to see you next week. And we will be back in your ears with another episode of Scandal that Eilish has been working very hard on.
Yay!
Bye,
guys.
Bye.
Shameless Media.
This podcast was recorded on Wurundjeri land. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land.
Oh, hi, it's Annabelle Lee and Louis Hansen here. We are your hosts of Everybody Has a Secret.
Woo!
Woo! We are here essentially just to let you know that we drop episodes every week now. Every damn Friday morning, we are in your ears.
That is so exciting. What a time to be in your ear holes. So essentially, each episode, we unpack the real life secrets of our listeners. So this is for everyone who loves, you know, just a little bit of gossip in their lives, which, let's be real, Annabelle, is all of us.
It's absolutely all of us. Don't lie. You all love gossip. So if you want to listen to our show, please do head to your favourite podcast app and listen now.
See you there.
Bye.